Christopher, when you arrived this morning, but it's good to be a part of this class. Just to remind you, we're looking at eldership. This is a topic that's strong on my heart, so it's in my daily prayer for this congregation, daily prayer for leaders within our congregation. But overseers, remember when we're talking about leaders, we're talking about many roles. Eldership is just one role, and that's what we're going to look at. At the moment, we're skimming over. We're trying to understand what kind of a person or what kind of role at this time, as we look at elders, what kind of role an elder would be, how would we envisage an elder, how would we identify an elder within the church. So, you know, these lessons I think have changed so many times over the years, you know, written them and rewritten them and over again, you know, but pretty much always the key things always come back to be visible. So, as we look at this time, we're looking at elders. Remember that elders is just one role. It's a responsibility. And there are lots of other responsibilities as well. And so eldership is not the top position. It's just a role within the church with a specific function that needs to be undertaken. So first things to understand so far, we're kind of glimpsed over it, but God's word establishes the elders. That's how they're established, through God's word. In other words, the defining measurement is taken from Scripture. If you want to see what, if you're baking a cake or a meal and you have a recipe, it's the recipe that will define the finishing product. If you change the recipe, you don't have what you're supposed to have. But if you stick to the recipe, then you get exactly what is required. So with any form of leadership within the church, it comes through here. Now remember, we talk about responsibilities. We're talking about, if you remember, we talked about apostles and prophets. Well, we said that they finished, you know, they ceased to be. However, when we looked at the other areas, evangelists is an appointed role. Like myself is appointed. I can't self-appoint myself to do this work. An elder is an appointed role. It's something that is someone who is appointed, or brothers who are appointed to those roles. And so the word establishes these positions and roles within the church. That's how we define what makes these roles available. It's not a tradition, but it is a biblical structure of leadership. Elders are to guard against biblical errors. And Paul warned even the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20, you know, you've got to watch out for these things. Now, what I'll say is, I believe, not in everywhere I know, I can only speak maybe from this country that I live in, but quite often elders is missing because we make it beyond reach. Because we look at the scriptures and we go too much into it, and we'll see that as we go through the scripture, that a lot of things that we think stops a person being an elder, actually when you look at the proper teaching, you realise that it's not actually as you're seeing it, there's something else to it. We'll unravel that as we come to it. But the focus also can be preacher-centred congregations. You know, I've met preachers who said, "Oh, we don't ever get elders in our congregation," and I'm the opposite. I can't wait to get elders in the congregation, because the eldership is such an important task and responsibility. The preacher has one function, an elder has another, a deacon has another. And remember, don't forget the congregation, the saints, the church, they have responsibilities as well. So each and every one has a function, and none are more important than the others. It's just responsibilities. If you think of an aircraft, there's a lot of people involved in an aircraft. You know, the engineer is responsible for all the technology. So that's his function. The pilot doesn't know that. The pilot won't go stick his head in the engine and start messing about with parts. His task is to fly. You may have hostesses and people on the plane that go around and serve the food and make sure everybody's got the belts secured and taking care of all the health and safety and they're there to deal with issues. And so these are all different functions to make one thing happen. That's the church. The church designed by Jesus Christ himself, by God. The church is designed to function with lots of these responsibilities in place. And so we'll look at that as we go along. So preacher-centered congregations is not a healthy thing. I think many years ago we were talking, Brother Lucky, in one of our classes, I can remember on a Thursday, we were discussing elders, you know, and I think one of the questions Lucky asked was, you know, what happens when you've got elders in place? Do you need a preacher? You know, the preacher is there establishing congregations, preaching the gospel, putting things in order. When things are in order, you know, what happens then? And I think the elders fill many functions within the congregation once they are established in place. But we'll look at that as we go along. This series that I've put together is going to take a few weeks to go through. And I want to free some time at some point for questions as well, so that we can look at that. And we'll probably use the Sunday for that. Okay, let's just have a quick look then at our first passage. The first one is taken from James chapter 15. James chapter 5. We'll struggle to find 15. James chapter 5, verse 14 through 15.
If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray about him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Okay. It just helps to establish a function. The elders don't go around with a pot of holy oil, throwing it over people. In the Old Testament, of course, we used to do a study when I was studying at the Bible school many years ago, and you've probably done it yourself, it's called type and antitype. So you look at types and antitypes. So, for example, you know, incense, burning incense in the Old Testament was a physical thing. In the New Testament, of course, when we offer prayer, it's like sending up the incense. The altar that was used for a sacrifice was a physical thing, and they would use the high priest would make sprinkle the blood onto the altar. That was a physical thing. Of course, now we are the temple, and Jesus' blood is the sacrifice. So it's like the type and anti-type. So one of the things you'll find with anointing oil through scripture was it was always about setting things apart. You know, when a king was to be a king, he was anointed as a king by a prophet. So the prophet was a spokesman of God who anointed the person to be a king. He still wasn't a king until he was officially appointed to be the king when he was an anointing that took place. Of course, for a preacher, an elder, to be chosen to take on these roles, they are appointed and then they are anointed. And so the anointing is by the Holy Spirit. It's a form of, the anointing is a form of acknowledgement that this is a biblical thing and this is God. Now, of course, here, of course, where it says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil, this is setting them aside, setting them apart, putting them into this place for prayer. And that is the task of the elders in order to pray over people in need. You know, because the key is this, elders have ministerial roles. They have a responsibility that they take care of. And so it would be the elders that would pray over. You know, if you're sick, an elder would come and pray over you, pray with you. When you appoint elders, you know, quite often we'll put our hands on the elder and pray. You know, maybe a few brothers will stand around and put their hands on them. They're saying that we've set this person aside for this responsibility. But the key thing is what he's done spiritually through the Holy Spirit to is the one that does the anointing and the one that actually sets this in place. And so these roles are chosen through scripture, but we're going to look into that in a bit more detail so it makes more sense. But this is the key I want to say with this passage. Elders have a ministerial role, different role. You know, have you heard the saying, we're going to have to run that by the elders. We take it out of context sometimes, so we use it in the wrong way. we need to have a new boiler, or we'll mention to the elders and ask the elders if it's okay to have a new boiler. No, not at all. The elders don't want to know about the boiler. The elders are the spiritual leaders. The elders are the ones who are overseeing the people spiritually. Now, that may involve some physical things, but they may even use the deacons to do that. So they may say to the deacons, look, there's a sister over there, she's a widow. She's spiritually alive. You deacons go and take care of a financial situation and go and do what needs to be done there. But then the elder will be there to deal with the spiritual side. He'll be the one to pray with and talking with him and guiding him through scripture. And so it's ministerial roles and responsibilities. You know, the church was not designed as a committee of a group or committee to lead everything to do with the function of the church. So you don't have an eldership who sits in a room and make every decision for the church. No, the deacons will make decisions for the physical things, the elders will deal with the spiritual things, the preacher will deal with the outreach, the preaching the gospel, bringing people in, and putting things in order like what we're doing now. That is my responsibility, to set things in order. But when things are established and things are in place, then all these functions begin to work for the benefit of the congregation. And so elders have roles regarding spiritual aspects, and they may well oversee some of the practical things, and we'll get into this as well, but we need to understand the importance of our calling. Now, here's something, I did a lesson on this many years ago, it wasn't here, so I think it was in America at the time. And I did a lesson on our calling is not to be a big church. In other words, our calling is not just to fill and get the biggest congregation we can have and say, well, I've got 1,000 members. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, of course. You know, people who responded to the gospel, that's wonderful. But our calling is to be the church of the Bible. And even if there is just a handful of people in this congregation, even if we're just a congregation of 45, 50 people, our goal and calling is to be the church of the Bible. And so everybody doing their functions, you've got the elders overseeing the spiritual needs, you've got the deacons dealing with all the practical things, you've got the congregations doing all the outreach, you're speaking with the neighbours and communities and bringing up the families and husbands being husbands and mothers being mothers, and so many challenges that we have in our lives. These are all responsibilities and roles that we have. So our calling is to be the church of the Bible. And what is produced through what we do is in the hands of God. So our goal is not to fix everything. Our goal is not our goal is to tell people the truth. And then we sit, and then they'll respond accordingly if they choose, because that is the choice and freedom that they have to make that. So what is God looking for? He's looking for purity. And listen, that's not easy. That's not easy. I was talking to one of my daughters the other day. She was going through something she was struggling with. And I said to her, you know what? You wrestle in this life with the devil every day, including me. It's a fight. It's like he's got you in a lock every day and you're fighting him all day long. He never stops. He never stops. And so the idea of leadership within the church and the idea of having elders to oversee the church is these are men who are shepherding over the flock. Remember last week we talked about them being overseers. The Greek translation of the overseer was relating back to that of the transfiguration of Jesus. Do you remember? If you read the transfiguration of Jesus, you'll see how a cloud covered the people. And that is an elder. He covers, he helps to cover the people with the other elders in order to do that. So far we have established some of the key ideas. Very timid at the moment, because I like to build things up. I don't like to just throw everything in a pot and just say that's what he's saying, but we can build it up. And the church has a role in activity and appointment. So church, we have a role to play in finding the people. And so in order to do that, we have to know what we're looking for. Not only that, I want you to understand that, you will find, this is what my father told me many years ago, he says, you normally identify elders because they're already elders, but they're unappointed, they're unofficial, they're already doing the work. You know, you can see that in them. And so, but the church has a role in activity and appointment. Men serve as elders and deacons because they have certain abilities. They are appointed to their tasks by the church, and of course they are anointed by God because it's a given role through teaching, through His word, and through what He sees to be different. So there are differences between the roles and the rest of the church, this is the difference. We looked at this if you manage responsibility. Different responsibilities. And so each and every one of us have to identify these things. I want you to remember some of the key points we've talked about. Well, church leadership rests with Christ. Do you remember we talked about that right at the start? Church leadership rests with Christ. He's the head. He's the head. And so that is embodied by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Do you remember me saying that kings in the Old Testament established their authority through physical things? They put taxes on the people. And so he would establish his authority by putting taxes on the people, and the people would pay the taxes, and if they didn't pay the taxes, they would pay the consequences. So that's how they did it. Kings of the Old Testament and even today, they establish their position through arms and through weaponry and through this modern day nuclear threats and all these things. Their arsenal of ammunition and their armies, that's how they establish their authority. Now, do you remember we said that Jesus Christ established his authority in a different way? He establishes his authority through the scripture. So that is his authority. It's not a tax. It's the standard. It's our pattern. Also through, remember I said, the Holy Spirit. We receive the Spirit when we're baptized. He comes into our life. He becomes a part of us. And so again, that is established through that way. So church leadership rests with Christ. It's embodied by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. And this is exercised by the elders. And so elders will be able to use these things to exercise the role. And we're going to look at that as we get into our study now. So we're not and must not be a preacher-centered congregation. Very dangerous. For me, for you, for the church, we cannot have preacher-based leadership or congregations. We need to establish the church designed by Jesus Christ himself. And so, again, all these things are things that we're going to look at, the biblical plan of God. So this study, then, is a practical lesson. Practical. I'm praying it will help motivate and guide the church, motivate and guide men. Don't sit there and think, well, that rules me out. You know, how many times? Listen, this is about development. We can develop, we can change. We can. If there's areas in our life that we're not so good at, we can change them. We can work on them. So if you might feel, well, this isn't me, you know, I could never do this, you're wrong. You underestimate the ability that God has to make changes in your life. Every leader that I know of in Scripture always came from difficult circumstances. You know, look at the Apostle Paul as a leader. Look at him. Don't rule yourselves out of your mind. Listen, you may have heard studies in the past that have completely crossed you off the list. We're going to look fresh. We'll re-look at what makes an elder. We'll re-look at what the Bible is teaching. We'll look at some of the translations as well, so that we, with some of the Greek, and we'll establish the facts, so that we can see that actually this isn't beyond our reach as a church to make this happen. So This is something else. I'll just throw this in before we get into the class. This is not something that takes decades to evolve. I know congregations for 40 years. Have you got elders? No, we're still working on it. It doesn't take that long to establish elders. I know some people have been studying this for 5 or 6 years now, and we've set up study programs. No, that is not how I see it in the scripture from my studies. You know, the Apostle Paul was going around establishing elderships. In fact, if you remember, his missionary journey, we talked about it last week, his first missionary journey, he went out to establish new congregations. You remember in Lystra? And he went away, and on his return, he went and started establishing congregations. In fact, it says they established eldership in all the congregations. They were going around getting these things in place. And so, but at the same time, it isn't just something you randomly just go, right, you'll be an elder, and we've got to look at what makes us that way and how we can change and develop as well. So remember that. So this isn't ruling anybody out. It's not something that takes decades. God already has men in his mind, already in here. God's got a plan. He's waiting for us to look at this. God's waiting for this. He said, come on, Lester. You've been here, what, in your 11th year? Where's your elders? Come on, I want us to get looking at this, and I want us to see how we can make this happen for my people, for my church, for my congregation. So this is where we're going to begin. As we start now, we're going to start getting into the depths of the study. I want to look first of all at what kind of man an elder is. And I'm not talking about going through the what we call the tick list. I'm talking about the basic principles to start with. This is the basics. You know, what kind of man would an elder be? And also, I want you to realise that what kind of man can I become in order to be able to be? And so this isn't just about looking at where we're at and saying, no, it's not for me because I'm not there. This is about looking and saying, can I be like that? Can I get myself there? Can I get myself into this ability to be able to have that? And we're going to look at the importance of desire as well. I always said, one of my lecturers many years ago, he says to me, he always goes about trying to talk people out of things like this. And he says, because what happens is when people stand up and say, I desire that, bro. I desire that. He says, they know what they're going into, but they also know how important this role is. And so therefore, they're the people you want, because they're the people who say, despite all of this. And so over the weeks, we'll look at his work. We're going to look at how to choose elders. We're also going to look at the wives of elders as well and the part they play in those roles. Again, remember, this is all about development and change. So this, you know, we can develop. Maybe husband and wife can get together and say, hey, you know, I feel like I could probably do something here, but how can I change my life? And maybe the wife says the same, well, you know, maybe I need to look at some areas in my life from what we've seen in Scripture and see how we can make changes. So we're going to start by looking at characteristics, first of all, that are easy to see in a person. And this helps in recognising who among us can serve this role. But also, it's not the obvious. Normally, you sit down in the class and say, what do you need? And they give you the list. Go through the whole list. But I want to look at some other things that I think are the basics to start with. And so rather than go to Timothy and Titus as the qualification list, I want to look at some other areas that we need to be aware of. And these are specific qualities to widen this a little first. So we can look at broader qualifications. And these are for all Christians, okay? Everybody can strive to these things, but especially those who will serve as elders within the congregation. Okay, so elders will agree that the Bible is God's word. It's a basic, it's very basic and fundamental, excuse me. They will agree that the Bible is God's word and the only true guide. So you wouldn't have an elder going through all these books and things like that. Let's look at some scripture. You know, so what kind of men are we looking for? You know, this is before we can get into the specific things. What's first? Men who accept God's word as the truth is absolutely paramount. Let's look at a passage.
And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. As all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness.
Okay, thank you, brother. Okay, anyone who you would deem as a person would potentially be an elder, you would expect this as the basic. You know, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Obviously, in this passage, of course, referring to specifics, but even if it's later in life when you pick this up, but as a child within the church, as a young Christian, you're a child and you grow and you mature within the church. Okay, what does he say? He's able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's the key fundamentals. You know, salvation is found through this. Salvation is found in this way. We can't find salvation through our own words. We can't find salvation just through some book on a bookshelf with somebody's glossy picture on the front. You know, this is talking about understanding the importance of Scripture. Then what does it say? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And so the Scripture is all-inclusive. It's not just a small piece. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And then here's the key. This is what an elder would know. He would know that the Word of God is profitable. You understand by profitable is you make an investment and it's going to bring profit. It's going to be beneficial. It's going to be a benefit. If I get a pile of money and bury it under my mattress in my bed and go back a year later, I'll just have that same amount of money there. That's not gained anything. It's not grown in any way. But when we're talking about profit related to the church, all Scripture is given by the inspiration, and it's profitable. In other words, the church will grow because of that. And any elder or leader will know that. That I know that the Word of God is the key, because that is what is going to be profitable to the people, to the church. And then, notice that, it says, all Scripture is by the inspiration of God, it's profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. When we look at an eldership, you will see that all of those things are part of his role. All of those things are, you know, doctrine is it's your all. This is the guy. This is how we know how we function as a church. For reproof, okay, and correction. In other words, an elder's going to come to me and say, excuse me, call me, I need to talk to you. Listen, you're going to make some changes in your life. In the Scripture, this is what it says, and this is what you're doing. And so you've got to change from that. And I'm going, wow, you know, I've got to change. This is profitable for me. The elder sees that. You know, and so profitable for reproof and correction, for instruction. How do I become a husband? How do I become a father? How do I deal with all the temptations in life? You know, what does the Bible say about alcohol and what does the Bible say about being out of control in my life? What are the basic standards in life? That, you know, stealing and dishonesty and telling lies and not being truthful. You have a marriage where there's no truth. You have a marriage where there's no loyalty. You have a marriage where there's no trust. It will fall apart. So the Bible in its wisdom is profitable because that is the standard, that is the teaching that will change the lives of the people. And so this is the standard we have. This is our standard. And so an elder will know that. An elder will, he'll go in there saying, I'm clear on this. This is given by the inspiration of God. This is God's holy word. We talked the other week about the prophets in the Scripture. Remember, the prophets were the walking Bibles. So when the kings went to see the prophet, they went really to hear God speaking. They went for instructions regarding how to be a king. That was their go-to place. And so we were talking Hezekiah last week. Hezekiah goes back to the prophet Isaiah to ask him something. Now, he's not waiting for a response from a physical man. He's awaiting words from God. So he's awaiting instruction from God. That is the scripture. It's an inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. So how do we be right with God? Listen, we need shepherds who go amongst the flock and say, right, we've got to get a few things right. Listen, you struggle with this, and I'm going to show you some passages, and I'm going to help you with that, and we're going to come and pray with you, and you're going through some difficulties. Listen, come. You know, we're here for you. We're here. You need some physical things. Say you go to the deacons and say, they need some physical help. Go and take care of that, and the deacons will go. But the elders are there, and then praying over them and watching over them. That is, we said, the kind of men that we're looking for. This is before any other specific list that we look at. And the mistake we often make in the church is we go straight to the list. How many children you got? Are they Christians? Do they need to be Christians? Do they need to be Christians? You know, we look at all these different, and we've got all the answers and all the controversy and all the. Listen, we're going to go through this through scripture, and we'll be clear. There won't be no room for not understanding. We'll make sure that we're clear on that. Men who are being considered for eldership will need to accept this before anything else. That's the first place to go. Are these men who, you'll know them, I've seen it here, I've seen it. Oh, these men, you sit and have a meeting, they're quoting their passages. Yeah, because it says this. We talk about giving, and one of our brothers will say, ah, let's have a look at this passage, and this is what it says in it. That's wisdom. That's the sort of men we're talking about. They need to accept this. It would also be a promoter of the passages. Promoting the word of God. Let me tell you, elders are not walking encyclopedias of scripture. They may not have every answer there and then, but they know where to look. I know people who won't be elders because they say, oh, I haven't got all the knowledge. I don't understand it. Well, listen, my grandfather was 99 years old and he was still studying the Bible, trying to figure it out. He was sitting having Bible studies for hours. I can't get my head around this. He'd been a Christian since he was 16 years old. Spent his life in the ministry and teaching and preaching, all those things through all those years, and he was still studying. You will not, if you're waiting for men who have got all the answers, it'll never happen. The elders are men who will go and say, listen, I'm going to have a look at that. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to pray over that. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to get some answers. Maybe you get together with the other elders. Maybe even say to the preacher, come over here with you, and we're going to look at this. And so we get the answers and solutions. We need to accept the truth. It'll be a promoter of the word. The Bible is to go to the place, or should I say, I'll reword that, I'll spell it, because I've got no commas in it. The Bible is to go to the place, the church matters. Nowhere else. Now, you may use a teacher who knows his Bible, maybe he's put something together and he's got some explanations in there, but the backing is the Word of God. That is the truth. That's the teaching. And so, you know, oh, listen, the times I've gone to my Bible, I've sat in my office late at night trying to get my head around something that I think I understood. I thought I understood. And then I started studying it and realising how miles away. I was nowhere. I hadn't got it right. I had to figure it out and re-look at it again and go into the background and go into the history of what is being spoken to or who is being spoken to. And so the Bible is the go-to place for the church matters. We need to remember the main tool for the elder is the word of God, because the elder is a man of God. They're the spokesman of God. And so elders will, this goes with them. This goes with them. If I sat in a room with a bunch of elders in a Bible study and an elder never had a Bible, I'd be very concerned. You know, this goes with them. And this is the standard. If a man doesn't go to this for direction and counsel, then how can we be doing the will of God? So, you know, that's a key thing, very important. Let me tell you this one. Elders need to love the church. They need to love the church. Let's just look at a quick passage.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Okay. This is Christ's church. This is his body. This example related to a husband, of course. A relationship is used as an example. So you may be sitting with a brother in the church, and this brother's struggling with him, and he said, listen, you've got to love your wife. You've got to love your wife. How much? Just as Christ also loved the church. That is the same love and gave himself for her. This is the love that the elder is called upon to have for the church. So, now let me tell you, you as an elder, they are going to go through it. They're going to have problems. They're going to be in the middle of conflicts. They're going to have people disrupting the church, and they're the ones standing at the gate saying no, because this is what the Bible teaches, we're not having it. They may have to disfellowship somebody. They may have to disfellowship somebody. They are going to go through all kinds of things. The church is made up of so many people of different backgrounds, different statuses. There's angry people. There's deceptive people. And I don't mean this, I'm not referring to this, I'm saying this is the church. Globally, wherever you go, it's the same. Every preacher I speak to, they say the same thing. But one of the things they find is the church is made up of so many people struggling with so many things. And all the bad things, all the problems, all the struggles, and all the sins, the elder has to be a man despite all of that that loves the church. The elder is the one that maybe gets some criticism, or get some insult, or something uneasy, and a bit of unrest going on, and they've got to get right into the middle of it all. There's a shepherd amongst the sheep, and all this turmoil going around, and the elder has got to love these people. And that is how you will see that. It's a key thing. If you had an elder room, you know, sick of that. But, you know, imagine a meeting and the elders are gathered together, right? So and so for a month. They don't really. Nuisance. Drives me crazy. It makes me angry. That's not an elder. That is not an elder. The elder is the one that goes and says, that brother is struggling. I don't know what's going on, but I love him. And I'm going to try and get to the roots of the problems and help him and encourage you, because we're trying to get on this journey together. This is why I say that this role, these responsibilities, he says about designing. You know, this isn't just somebody who stands in a fancy suit and has a seat up the front, his own seat. This is a man in the field with the people. He's the one, as I said last week, he's the one that's going out gathering them when they disappear. He's running down the field, bringing them back. He's the one that's on his hands and knees, bandaging their legs up when they've hurt themselves. But spiritually, when you're hurt, that is the elder. In the thick of it, in the depth of it. And through all of these things, Christ loved and loves his church. And so elders need to be men that are seen despite the sins, the problems, the violations, the corruptions, the bitterness and the anger that goes on, the things that they are dealing with. They do not lose the love of God's people. And we see all this, you know, despite what they see, the love is there. And I believe strongly that this love is the drive that makes an elder so amazing. Because this is a tough one. Now, let me tell you, within a little later, we're going to look at our responsibility as well. Because if you think these guys, our elders, will be men, we're going to have all this, we have a responsibility. And we will be held accountable to our responsibility towards our elders. And we'll be looking at that at some point as well. just want to tell you that most Christians can be hurt from inside the church. You know, we've all experienced it. I know people here that have experienced it, that where being in congregations and places where they've been hurt from within the congregation. Within the congregation, it's tough enough outside the congregation, but it happens because we're human beings, we're people, we're different, but we're the same as well. And so the church is our family. The church is our family. And families disagree and fall out, but our elders are the ones that will oversee the spiritual well-being of God's people and keep us together. And we are wrestling every day, brother. Every day we are wrestling with sin. And we're wrestling with the devil, and he's trying to turn us against each other, he's trying to turn us against our families, and he's trying to turn you against spirituality, and he's going to put things in your way, and he's going to be stumbling blocks there. And all day long you're fighting and wrestling, and sometimes you give in. And now it all comes. And we spill out all these worldly things, and we feel so bad. We're on our hands and knees later praying for forgiveness and asking God to forgive. And how am I going to get right, and how am I going to get back on? But the shepherds are the ones that will oversee. They'll be the ones you can go to. And we'll look at that. The elder is the one you can go to and say, listen, sir, listen, brother, I'm struggling. And the elder will be the one you'll be able to rely upon in those times of troubles. So, right, we've got quite a way to go, but we've run out of time at this time. What I'm going to do, in a couple of weeks' time, I just want to get through this section, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a Sunday that we're just going to use for questions and things like that, which is similar to what we do in the past. But I'm not going to prompt your thoughts, but you can ask questions. Things you're not sure about, things that maybe you've heard me say something you think, is that right? And we'll examine that, because we want to get this right. We want to make sure that we've got this right. As I said before, I don't want to open this into a debate, because I want to teach it. I want to be able to have, we just have a short slot, so I want to use that time to teach it so that we can come to grips with this, and hopefully, by God's will, we'll come to this one. Okay. Yeah, we'll stop. Brother Doughton, would you...